from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How are you doing? I was surprised when I woke up and like, wait, what? Where's the sunshine? I've been enjoying these last couple of days, and the clouds are here. Huh?
I woke up at like 4 in the morning, and I was cold because I had the window open.
No way.
I promise you. But you know what, Ursula? I tell you what I want to do. I don't want to do no small talk. I want to get right into the top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
Well, you don't want to be fooled by the clouds this morning. The heat is going to be coming back. And the reason that G is so eager to get going is because this latest weather forecast confirms what G's app told him yesterday. We could be hitting triple digits this weekend. What did I say to you, G, yesterday when I was doubting what your app was saying? What was I basing my information on?
I don't know what you're basing your information on, Nick. Here's what one of my partners said. One of my partners hit me up yesterday and was like, I ain't never heard nobody question somebody over the weather of an app. He said, did she ask you if you had a bootleg app? I said, yeah. And then he said, it's not like you were off by like 15 degrees.
No.
Let's just say it was going to be 95. So you were off 5 degrees.
Well,
I said, no, that's Ursula being particular. I said, but don't you worry. I can't wait to tomorrow, baby. I love when folks eat a little bit of crow and say, gee, you were
I
right.
Know. Okay, well, I just kept getting hit all day and all night yesterday with people saying, gee, you're right. Gee, you're right. So we're going to go to the expert, Cairo 7. TV meteorologist Nick Allard, who I rely on for all the correct information.
Wait,
hey,
we have an expert? Who? Who's coming? What expert?
I kept quoting you. I said, nope, Nick said 95, 96. The reason it's a big difference is we don't hit 100 degrees very often.
Yeah. You're right. Let me set the stage. So I went back and did some, I'm using air quotes, research, as the kids say, because I'm obviously very hip. And
yes.
If you look at SeaTac or SEA, you know, we call it SEA now, Seattle Tacoma International Airport, mm-hmm. The record's officially kept there since 1945. We've only hit 100 or higher twice. And if you go back before 1945, the federal building used to be the official observation station. Seattle only hit 100 twice. So if you go back in our very long history of temperature measurement, we've only hit 100 or higher 4 times. And so the fact that that's going to happen, and let me throw something else at you. The highest June temperature in Seattle on record is 96. And so Saturday alone, if we just get to 97, and I'm saying just get to 97, then we already have the warmest June temperature ever. And then if we get to triple digits, I went straight 100 on Sunday, then it's only the third time in SEA history and only the fifth time in Seattle history that we've hit 100. And the records for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are all in the low 90s. So you're going to break records historically, you're going to break records for the days, and you're going to be in the high category of hitting 100 again. So it's madness, I tell you.
Okay, so do you understand, Nick, here's the other thing. When I mentioned, let's go with SeaTac Airport as our, you know, where are we going to count it? Because I may OG a sandwich after this weekend. So I was explaining, I look at SeaTac Airport and people are like, you know, you already lost me on that one, SeaTac Airport. But that's where we get the official stuff, which is what you just mentioned.
That's the official. Whether or not it's a good idea is a different conversation. Meaning, you know, if you look at it climatologically and the way the wind
right.
is,
yeah.
the wind
like,
temperature
yeah.
is.
Like Pierce County.
Yeah, we've had many discussions about this.
Like Pierce County doesn't count. Like Snohomish County doesn't count. Yeah, okay. But I tell you what, Ursula.
Wait, are those still in the state?
Yes.
County. Of course they count.
Yeah, it's never about whether they count.
Forgetting the fact that, yes, you're right, that's not really representative of the rest of the state. It may also not be the most representative of King County. But that's a discussion for, I mean, versus like the downtown area and the airport. But yes. No matter what, officially, you have to go with the airport. Now, the Weather Service more recently over the past years, recent years, has also been keeping an observation station at its office on Sandpoint. So that's another one, which is closer to the lake you can
yes.
rely on. But the quote-unquote official observation station, and I know that G is all about official and quote unquotes and just doing air quotes in general and all that kind of stuff. But we use SeaTac, SEA.
No, G was the one. I was the one using SeaTac, and yeah, people were not buying it because I get it. There are other areas that are going to be much hotter. So there is a potential, though, that even Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I know Sunday is supposed to be the hottest, right? Or Sunday or Monday.
Yes.
But we could potentially hit 100 degrees 3 days.
Oh. Yep.
And
yep.
That hasn't happened. So just yep. We're looking at how rare this is. This is.
So if you go back to 2009, that's when we hit 103. And off the top of my head, I think it was 94 that we hit 100 even at SEA, at Ben SeaTac. So if we were to do it 2 days in a row, that's never happened. If we were to do it 3 days in a row, that's on a different level, which I don't think we will. I don't think Monday will be as hot as Sunday, but Saturday and Sunday both have the chance to do it. You know, again, if you look at the overall picture since the, 1890s of keeping records, if you include the federal building, four times you've hit 100 and you could do it potentially twice in the same weekend. So yeah, that's highly, highly unusual.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Is this indicative of what we're going to have the rest of the summer? Again, you pointed out it's just June.
I know. I mean, that is a very good question. I think overall the summer is going to be warmer and drier. That's what the predictions are saying. The problem is when you look at the overall predictions, you can't always say much more than, let's just say, I don't have the exact percentages, but let's just say there's a 70% chance that it will be warmer and drier. Well, it doesn't say how much warmer, and it doesn't say how much drier. But statistically, yes, it does look like it'd be a warmer and drier, I almost said winter, warmer and drier summer than normal. So I think it's a sign of things to come, but you can't always take extreme events as, right, the best climatological outlook. But I think we're in for a pretty warm summer.
Thanks, Nick Gallert.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Really appreciate you.
No, you know
man.
What? Thank you, guys.
No, we love having you on the show. Here. Okay, I should just ask one little quick thing. Wildfire smoke. Do you think this is going to be one of those summers, too?
It's so hard to say. I mean, it just depends on if we see the level of fires that, like, they're seeing in Arizona. If we happen to see some of that in California, you mentioned the clouds at the top. I don't know if you could hear me or not. I was trying to hide from my kids because they were being so loud. I was just like, oh, my God, get away from me. But as you were saying that, I was thinking, what if we had, with this south wind bringing in this low marine cloud cover, if we had that in the upper levels with a bunch of California wildfires, we'd be doing a repeat of the last time this happened.
Yeah.
At the moment, not the case. And so it's difficult to say. But what I will say is wildfire conditions in California are on an unreal level of bad.
No.
And so I will not be surprised if we get something like that again. And that's just California, forgetting all that a couple years back when we got it from Alaska. We were just bookended by it. We were surrounded by it.
Yeah. Nick, thank you so much. Appreciate
you. Of course.
Thanks
for having me.
All right. Before we move on, though, Ursula.
I know.
I'll make you a deal. I'll make you a deal right here on Cairo Radio. Everybody's listening. Here's the deal. You don't have to get me a sandwich on Monday.
But I
just need you to say this, and we're even. I need you to say, G, you are right. It is going to be 100 this weekend.
Okay. I'll say it on Monday. The proof is in I'll say it on Monday.
No, I just need you to say, G, it's going to be 100. 100 this weekend.
I'm going
to.
No.
And that's all?
100. No. What I will agree is that it is in the forecast now. Okay, we're going to move on.
All right.
It has happened again and again and again. Two cars and a semi-truck were hit by rocks that were thrown off I-5.
The rock-throwing spree on I-5 began at about 3 o'clock this Tuesday morning. A semi-truck heading southbound was struck by a rock near the Colombian Way interchange. Its windshield shattered.
You have heard about it.
I have heard about it, and I think it's disgusting, and I think it's very dangerous.
5.5 hours later, a driver also heading southbound on I-5, this time near the James Street overpass. Again, a rock thrown onto the freeway, and again, the vehicle's windshield damaged.
I know I panic when I see something hit my windshield, when I'm, like a rock coming at my window. So, God forbid, something drop down and I don't catch it and, veer off into the side of the street or worse.
Then, at about 10:30 a.m., a third vehicle was struck by falling rocks onto I-5, this time near the Dearborn exit. And again, the windshield was damaged. In each case, the culprits vanished before anyone got a look at them.
And Cairo 7 TV's Deborah Horn says, with these latest incidents, there have now been around 70 reports of rock throwing on freeways so far. And here's more bad news. Yesterday, we told you two people had been arrested in separate incidents, but one of the men was apparently let go around noon yesterday after the state patrol was able to look at all the surveillance videos, and it showed that he was not the same guy that they had seen on a bike and wearing a headlamp who was throwing rocks. The other suspect is getting a mental health evaluation.
How long are we going to keep talking about this? How are we going to keep talking about rock throwing all through the summer? Because if we go, and I think we are, you guys thought I was a little nuts yesterday. I got a couple messages that says, gee, that's a little outrageous to be asking for attempted murder. Let me say it again. Charge them folks with attempted murder if you get caught doing that. Because that can kill somebody on the road. And if it how many times, Ursula, has rock throwing been in our top five in the last 2 weeks?
Well, too many times, because it's happening and it could be any one of us that gets hit the next time. I mean, if you drive, it can be anyone. I'm sad to hear that you know, we don't have any good descriptions of these latest incidents. So what should happen? We got an email from a listener, and I think that he expresses what a lot of people are feeling. What are the city or the state going to do about rocks being thrown onto the highway at the convention center? Is it too much to spend to put some netting or fencing over that opening so that these things don't continue to happen? If they're going to spend all this money on the homeless, they can spend a little extra money to make it safe for us, that to, you know, those of us who drive I-5 every day. Yesterday, he says, one of my lumber trucks was hit around 9 a.m., shattering the window and injuring our driver. Yes, we are peed off and want justice, but we also want a solution. We pay a lot of money to have our trucks drive on these roads, and the convention center is paid for with our tax dollars. Find a solution before us, the everyday people, find solutions for the problems themselves. Are they going to wait till someone gets killed? That's a good question. Do you keep waiting until there's a crisis and then manage it? I mean, already people have been seriously injured. So what can you do? Fear is going to be that this is going, and I will say this, State Patrol has increased patrols, and that's why they're getting closer to arresting people. So that's good, and I think we need to make that a priority.
I'm going to tell you right now. It keeps happening in Seattle, correct? Is that fair? If G is the mayor in charge of this town, I'm doing a press conference on rock throwing it. I'm going on the G and Ursula show to talk about rock throwing, and I'm telling the city and everybody, if we catch you throwing rocks, it's attempted murder. And I'm not joking when I'm saying this. I'm not trying to be funny. I'll admit when I'm trying to be funny, I'm not being funny by this, because what's going to happen is unfortunately, I hope that we're not talking about a death coming. Somebody's grandma or grandpa lost their life because of rock throwing off of a freeway. Sorry.
You're exactly right. So we need to be much more. So absolutely. The mayor. Well, first of all, I do know that Cairo 7 TV reached out to Mayor Durkin, and there was no comment apparently about the rock throwing stuff. But it's not just the city of Seattle. It's happening elsewhere. It's happening on our freeways. So we're talking about the state being involved. The governor should be saying something.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right about that.
You're right. You know, the state patrol, they can use us. They can use, you know, any means of saying, hey, we are looking for you. They are looking for you. So, and the other thing that I worry about is someone's getting their kicks, probably, all the attention they're getting, and this idea that they have this control, that now we're fearful because now we have to worry every time you get in a car and you're driving on a freeway.
And you're 30-some. I always like to ask you this because it really blows me away that you've been doing this for 30-plus years. In 30 years, has this been news ever before?
This has been news, but you get spurts of it. Not to the extent that right now, 70 amount of time. No,
I had a rock hit my car.
Yeah, I know.
That I was in. Remember?
Right, exactly. So yes, I mean these sorts of things have happened, you know, over the years, many times.
You'd have serial rock throwers.
Yeah, such a concentrated amount. I can't remember. It's been a while. five black University of Washington police officers have now filed claims for $8 million in damages. They say they have been the target of racist insults and harassment. They say they've been routinely insulted and demeaned by their coworkers and supervisors. They say they were disciplined and denied promotions because of their race. One officer, Damian Taylor, said a white supervisor referred to him as, quote, his own Negro on a call. Another officer said his superior offered him a watermelon energy drink, telling him that he thought all blacks like watermelon and Popeye's chicken. Officer Karen Young said she found bananas put in the front of her locker, and someone had left a note referring to her as a monkey, and that was her lunch. A UW spokesman says they are stunned by these allegations, also adding that they have had no record of any complaints being filed with these claims, but they are going to be doing a thorough investigation now.
And that's what's going to happen. I read through it all, saw the reports on it, was talked about, and this is very unfortunate that this has happened, and it continues to happen. But like, this happens not just in the state of Washington. This happens in Mississippi. It happens in Florida. It happens in New York. It happens everywhere. I'm sure the University of Washington is going to do their due diligence with this, and I'm sure they're going to go get to the bottom of it. Just like this, when you start talking about employers and people that just don't get it, Juneteenth recently this year, IKEA, did you see about the email that they put out to their employees?
Yes.
To honor to honor black Americans and acknowledge the progress yet to be made. We observe Juneteenth and look out for a special menu on Saturday that includes fried chicken, watermelon, mac and cheese, potato salad, collard greens, and candy yams. This is from IKEA. So I'm not trying to dim this story down. I'm just saying that these stories are going to continue because now people are talking about it. People have had enough. People have courage to come out. Because I look at this, what those employees probably had to go through, Ursula, in going, there's many a times, not just them, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that have kept quiet about a lot of things in the past.
Yeah, and I think they feel emboldened to do that because it has become top of mind, you know, what happened last year with George Floyd and everything that followed that. I think people have been emboldened, but now there's a big pushback too. And I want to point out, remember yesterday we had this discussion where someone posted on our Facebook page, you guys talk about race too much. And I wanted to bring this up because we wish we didn't have to. And I want you to know that every single morning we pick and choose what stories that we're going to do because we don't want to have just a full-on assault when it comes to this topic. You said it makes you feel very uncomfortable.
I get trauma. If you guys remember, and you guys, y'all know, there's times, I'll be honest with you, there's times that it's gotten so heavy that I've taken a day off because of it. Like, I would rather these stories not happen. I would rather those officers at the University of Washington, I would rather them not have to go through this. I would rather this not even be news. That would be great. And as a matter of fact, if we wanted to pick and choose and do this all day, there's literally stories every single day. And so many times, Ursula, how many times have we said,
nope.
Okay, we're not, nope.
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 Yeah.
Nope.
Every day.
Every day.
Okay, still ahead. The voting rights bill dies in the Senate. So whatever happened to working together in the other Washington? We're going to be talking about that next. You're listening to the G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show, Wednesday morning edition. Hope you're having a great morning so far. It was supposed to be the largest overhaul of the electoral system in a generation, but Senate Republicans blocked the Democrats' sweeping attempt to rewrite voting laws. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is furious.
Madam President, I want to be clear about what just happened on the Senate floor. Every single Senate Republican just voted against starting debate on legislation to protect Americans' voting rights. If senators 60 years ago held that the federal government should never intervene to protect voting rights, this body would have never passed the Voting Rights Act.
Vice President Kamala Harris says the bill, known as the For the People Act, is critical because Republican-led states have introduced a slew of new voting restrictions.
This is about the American people's right to vote, unfettered. It is about their access to the right to vote in a meaningful way. It is clear, certainly, for the American people, that when we're talking about the right to vote, it is not a Republican concern or a Democratic concern. It is an American concern. Nobody is debating, I don't believe, whether all Americans have the right to vote. The issue here is there actual access to the voting process, or is that being impeded?
But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the legislation simply is a power grab.
Whichever label Democrats slap on the bill, the substance remains the same. It's always been a plan to rewrite the ground rules of American politics. The Senate's going to fulfill our founding purpose, stop the partisan power grab, and reject S1.
That is exactly what the Republicans did. A procedural vote to open debate on the legislation was defeated by a tally of 50-50, falling short of those 60 votes needed to succeed. So with that, what does that tell you about what's going to happen these next few years?
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And if you guys notice, I'll admit something to you, Ursula, with you and Chris. I didn't really want to talk about this voting because I got to tell you, this right here really does break my heart. Like, it really does.
Why?
22 of 24 laws passed this year to restrict voting access have been introduced solely by the Republicans and passed over by the objectives of the Democratic Party. 15 states, listen to this, 15 states with 38 million people elect 30 GOP senators. 38 million people. The state of California has 40 million people and it elects two Democrats. By 2040, they're predicting that 30% of America will elect 70 senators, while 70% of America will elect 30. You see, what's scary about all of this and what people are not understanding is this. Let's just go back to when we were kids. Let's just simplify it. You're running for school president or school secretary, and there's a vote. Usually, the majority says, hey, we're going to vote for this person. You tally up the votes. This person got this amount. This other person got this. That's the decision. But now there is this game that's happening because there are people much smarter than me that see. They can see where things are going. They can see that people are starting to think and understand and talk. So no matter what these opinions are across the country, as long as there's still control, that's no problem. And so, Ursula, what I'm saying is the reason why it's hurtful to me, this voting stuff, it's another way of changing the game. Like before, when people were being killed, losing their lives for trying to register people to vote. And then now today, people say things like, oh, well, you know, if you want to fix the problem, just go ahead and vote. Well, you know what? And then when people mobilize and they start to vote, now the game is going to be changed again because there's this thought and there's this idea that people are cheating voting. And so I ask this, right, all the time. People here in the state of Washington, you know what we don't fight about? Well, kind of, but we don't. We don't fight about the voting process here because it's simple. So we're in 2021. Why are we fighting? Why is all this stuff about voting?
It is a big game, and there's still this belief that so much cheating happens, even though in this past election that was not proven. But yet a third of the country believes that President Biden did not win without cheating. I mean, that's no matter how many times it's told, no matter if it's coming from a Republican, no matter what, it still people don't believe in it. And so you talked about how so many people, you know, for example, in the state of California, well, every time we bring this up, someone will say, well, if I live in Idaho, I don't want people in California determining what happens in this country just because they have more people.
Well, you know what? You know what's interesting? These states that say that they don't want these other states determining things, when it comes to money, they ain't got no problem getting supported by these other states then. You want to talk about socialism then? You want to go through some of the poorest states in this country that get upheld by some of the richest states in this country? You can't have it both ways, and this is why there is an attack on our democracy, and this is why, and I'm just saying this, at the rate and pace that we're going, this ain't gonna work.
Well, and it also shows that even if you have the slimmest of, I mean, there's a majority for the Democrats in the Senate.
Yep.
Slim. In the House, and there's Joe Biden in the White House, and yet you still can't get it done.
Come on.
So it's still not going to happen, and this is just going to, so, and there was a ton of talk about let's try to work together. President Biden himself, even on this voting thing, he didn't go all out on it. He's counting right now. He's pushing for the infrastructure bill, hoping that that can be bipartisan. And then today he's going to be talking about gun violence.
Don't even get me started with the Dems. I just can't stand a whole two-party system.
It's broken.
The Dems, you got a job to do. Protect democracy right now. And you're sitting here just like, well, I just want to work together. And you're singing Kumbaya. And oh, by the way, oh, we got together. We got a federal holiday for you. And we're gonna make sure that the words in the Dr. Seuss books is good. Would you guys do something?
No one's doing nothing. What's going to end up happening is nothing happens.
Nothing.
And then 2022 is going to be all about culture wars. It's going to be like, what has happened? I mean, I'll keep my fingers crossed on the infrastructure plan because that is something we absolutely desperately need. But it's like not a lot has happened, and the Democrats have the majority right now.
It ain't doing nothing. Ain't doing nothing.
Well, I think they're trying. It's just not working. Not working.
What's that word called? Oh, filibuster. That's right. Hey, coming up next, Ursula, there's one particular place that some of us have gone to when we have been on a diet and we call ourselves trying to eat healthy. You ain't gonna believe this. Come to find out, some of the foods there ain't so healthy. We gotta talk. We do that next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Coming up at 10:06. It will be time for three things that you need to know at 10. But right now, we need to talk. And what do we need to talk about? This. You've maybe been on a diet. Or maybe, if you will, watching what you eat. And then some of your coworkers, they tell you, or they say, we're going to order pizza, we're going to get some fish and chips. And you're like, no. I'm going to go to Subway. Well, speaking of Subway, the New York Times published a report on Sunday which revealed that lab tests, check this out, didn't find amplifiable tuna DNA in Subway's infamous tuna sandwich. And if you're out there like me, that, by the way, the tuna sandwich was my favorite sandwich that I've probably had thousands over the years. The New York Times submitted 60 inches worth of Subway tuna sandwiches from three separate Los Angeles locations for lab analysis in the wake of the lawsuit filed earlier this year. Come to find out, the suit claims, listen to this, y'all. The independent lab test showed the company meant to imitate tuna's appearance by blending together these unknown ingredients.
Stop it.
Come to find out, the lab could not determine the origins of the fish that it provided in the sandwiches. And Ursula, I know you love info. I love, you know, you love information. In October of 2020. Ireland Supreme Court ruled that the bread used in Subway sandwiches couldn't legally be referred to as bread since it exceeded 2% of the total weight of flour used in the dough.
That was a literal mic drop. Okay, sorry. I think, are you still there, G?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, okay. I think you just stood up.
Why are you
okay,
laughing?
Because I can't see you, but it sounded like your mic dropped right at the apropos
that,
time.
That was me dropping my phone. Why are you laughing? Why is this funny news to you?
Just because of the way that you're presenting it. No, it's not. It's actually sad because, first of all, that sounds like a giant lawsuit waiting to happen. You have purported to be selling tuna fish sandwiches, and now 60 inches worth of testing of tuna, and they didn't find any traces of tuna?
They can't identify the species, quote.
That's now, disgusting. You know, okay, so, yes. Yeah, and what's Subway's response, though? I want to make sure that we're fair. So is right. Subway saying we wanted to make it a tuna-like sandwich?
No. Well, basically, I'm glad you bring that up. Subway is basically saying, like, listen, we, as far as the companies that we get it to, we don't really have all the control.
Yeah, because it's franchises.
It's franchises, but the big company that they get it from, they don't have all the control of what could be in a tuna. I'm sorry.
That's not true.
You're Subway. What do you mean?
Yeah, they have rules for franchisees, and I'm sure this is part of the whole deal.
Yeah,
that's crazy. So now they have to change it and just say fish sandwich. You've been eating some kind of unknown fish for all these years.
Yeah, yes.
Well, Subway was the same company that also, when people were saying, they're not foot long, they're not 6 inches. And people actually took out rulers, and in fact, they were 5 inches and 11 inches.
Here's one of their quotes. Given the facts, the lawsuit constitutes a reckless and improper attack on Subway's brand and goodwill and on the livelihood of its California franchises. Indeed, there is no basis in law or fact for the plaintiff's claims, which are frivolous and are being pursued without adequate investigation. You know what? I'm glad they bring up adequate investigation, because speaking of adequate investigation, you remember Jarrett? What happened to Jarrett?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember, you know what I'm saying? That I'm giving Subway enough. There was Jarrett. Have you heard about the late founder and some of the stuff that he was doing? And now this?
Yikes.
I'm going to get a lot of back fat because I don't get healthy food anymore. Coming up next, it's time for three things that you need to know at 10. It's G and Ursula.